Hi, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby, and I am so happy that all of you made it here to the Wonderland Ballroom. This means quite a bit to me. Please put your hands together for yourself so the listener at home knows I'm not standing in an empty room. This is great. This is exactly why I do the show. I get to talk about what I think and or feel in front of people that know me, in front of strangers. I love doing this thing. This thing means more to me than you could possibly imagine. Is everyone happy about the new SNL member? It's going to be great. SNL, Saturday Night Live. Does anyone in this room actually watch Saturday Night Live on Saturday night at all? Okay, that's kind of my point. This is a full room. No one watches that show, but we all have opinions on that guy. I don't know if you know this. You can make your own thing. We all can make our own things and enjoy those things. But actually, let's start on a different note. Let's start on a positive note. I would just like to wish the one, the only, Miss Beyonce Knowles a happy 34th birthday. Give it up for Beyonce, everybody. Yeah, she did it. The new cast member's name is John Rudnitsky. He's a little boy, and he's a young man. He was born in the late 80s. I was born in the early 80s, therefore I am his older person. He's a little boy, and the little boy said some things that might make some people upset. He called a woman a whore on the Twitter, and that's what he did, and so people are upset about that. He called another woman cunt on Twitter, so people are upset about that. He released a homophobic Vine. I don't know about you guys, but if you need to get your homophobia out there, use Vine. Short, sweet, friendly to homophobes. He also had a racist against Mexicans Vine. That's another safe. No one that's Mexican ever uses Vine, so you're completely safe on that one, new cast member from SNL. And then he had a sexist and ageist Vine. So he's pretty good on social media. That's why SNL is fuck SNL. That show sucks. No one in this room cares about it. My favorite Destiny's Child song, though, hands down, Independent Women. Independent Women, made famous by the amazing film Charlie's Angels. All the women independent. It's a great song. It was written by three men. Anyways, who cares about SNL? Fuck that show. People in here, we like alt comedy. We like comedy for like real comedy fans. We like Amy Schumer. Amy Schumer is amazing. She says awesome shit. She's going to be hosting SNL this October. I don't know if you know that. Like Louis C.K. Who in here doesn't love Louis C.K.? This guy releases special after special of original material. He occasionally shows his dick without consent, and that is sexual assault, but whatever, because he's a cool guy. He's an SNL favorite. And Bill Hader, has everyone seen Bill Hader's new show? It's fantastic. It's called Documentary Now. You might know him from SNL. Anyways, happy birthday to Beyonce Knowles. She's 34. She's looking amazing. Did you know Queen Bee's last tour? Do you know what it was called? The Mrs. Carter tour. It's important to have a strong male in your life, and Beyonce's teaching this, that it's really important. Listen, SNL has no influence on what we do as a culture, not one bit. I'm going to go home tonight, and I'm going to watch some viral videos. I'm not going to watch that bullshit SNL. I'm going to watch some late-night viral videos that has nothing to do with SNL. I'm going to go home and watch some Jimmy Fallon / Seth Meyers produced late-night short videos on it's going to be so good. Single Ladies. Now, Kanye West was right. Single Ladies is one of the greatest videos of all time. 100% right. And the reason why I like that song, besides the fact that it was written by two guys and one girl, is because it really enforces the values of a woman is a man's property as long as he puts a ring on a finger. It's a fantastic show. SNL is bullshit. There are so many high-paying comedy jobs out there. I don't know why anybody would possibly care. You know who runs the world? Girls. Girls. Who runs the world? Girls. That was written by five men and one woman, everybody. Could we stop pretending that Beyonce is the greatest gift to mankind and SNL is bullshit? It's somewhere in the middle. Beyonce, I actually enjoy Beyonce's music. I think she released one of the best albums of last year. And Single Ladies is actually one of the greatest videos of all time. Kanye West is still 100% right about everything he's ever said. You should woo for Kanye, whatever, whenever. He's 100% on the right side of history. I've written hundreds of thousands of words about this. This is episode 370 of You, Me, Them, Everybody, and I want to say at least 200 of those are devoted to Kanye West, so we'll stop talking about Kanye. Amy Schumer made $300,000 for the movie Trainwreck. She's currently doing some stand-up in Chicago, and she's saying things that she probably shouldn't, which is how much money she made on a film that has currently grossed $129 million worldwide. Amy Schumer made $300,000. That doesn't seem very fair to me. Lorne Michaels is worth $350 million. I just want you to know that that exists, and that little homophobic racist boy, he's got a bright future ahead of him, and we're going to watch him every single week on Mad TV. It's going to be a fantastic series. This is so much fun, and I am so glad that you're all here. And our first guest of the evening is someone that's been on the show before as a guest and as a performer. And tonight, she's going to play a third role. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for my friend and hopefully yours, Kaylee Reinhardt, everybody. Kaylee, come to the stage. Kaylee, thank you for being here.
Thank you for asking me to come back.
I like you a lot as a person. Hmm? Not as a performer, because you're a real person. You're a fully developed human being.
Right.
How does that feel?
It feels pretty good. It feels good.
How do you usually feel when you wake up? Seriously, like 1 to 10?
2.
That's not good. Okay.
Oh.
No.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, yeah, that's really bad. Do you see a therapist?
Yeah, definitely.
How often do you go to therapy?
I used to have to go every week.
That seems very normal.
Yeah, it's normal, except when you're paying out of pocket.
That's horrible. I'm very sorry.
Yeah.
Why isn't Obama's America working out for you?
Because people don't care about mental health.
That's right, everybody. So. Give it up for Beyonce. She's the best. Anyways, Kaylee, one of the things that you do is a talk show.
Yes.
What's the name of the talk show?
It's called Kaylee Chats, and you've been on it. So.
I have been on it. Yeah. Why do you do it?
Because stand-up was too hard, and I wanted like less pressure. So I wanted it. I wanted to not do it live and sort of have more control over.
Why is stand-up hard?
Stand-up is like the most nerve-wracking thing I've ever done in my life.
It's really?
Terrifying. Oh, yeah. I was so freaked out every time.
Were you more afraid to have sex for the first time, or do you stand-up?
Definitely stand-up. Definitely stand-up.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't get it. It's not hard.
I feel like sex, I was like, I know what I'm going to do. I have some ideas. I've
seen
some
you.
Things. Yeah, stand-up.
Did you never see stand-up before you did it?
Yeah, I guess that's weird, right? I had seen a lot of stand-up. And
how long did you do it? Stand up.
Maybe like a year and a half.
Year and a half. Do you ever think you're going to go back and do it again?
I've thought about it. I feel like now that I'm getting older, I feel a little bit more comfortable and not as scared.
Good.
So, but I don't know, because like anytime you see like, you know, 30, mid-30-year-old comics just starting out, I don't think that there's like a great future for me.
You could lie, number one.
I'm 25. Like, what do you mean?
See, that's the thing. You're saying that like we all know your age. You could be 25.
Oh, I don't know.
You're 30.
I'm 30.
You're 30. You had a very good tweet about your age recently, this week, about your sister. Could you say it out loud?
Yeah. The tweet was something like, is murder okay if a younger man hits on you and your sister says, doesn't he know you're 30? That was the tweet.
Cool.
Yeah.
I think I faved it. What's your clout score?
I don't know what that means.
That's the right answer.
Okay.
Good job.
What is that?
What brings you joy? Oh, cloud is it's the internet telling you how you're not going to be nearly as important as you think you are. It's spelled K-L-O-U-T. Nothing. Plug it back in.
Is that good? Okay.
I would like to point out that was the first time I've ever mansplained how to use a microphone on the talk show.
I've never had one just fall apart in my hands like that.
Why do you do what you do? You said it's, you're afraid of stand-up. So what?
Okay, so the thing is, I went to school for journalism,
okay.
So I'm used to sort of interviewing and one-on-one things, and that feels really comfortable for me instead of being the focus.
Okay.
I like to talk to people and ask them questions and make them laugh through a conversation.
Do you think that there's something wrong with someone that makes people come to their show and puts on a suit for no apparent reason and has them be very, very quiet, and then if they don't laugh, gets offended?
That sounds fine.
That's
me.
Fine.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
What's the highest you feel on a scale of 1 to 10 during the day?
Like, are we talking about my self-esteem?
Yes.
This is getting really serious.
I'm trying to change the show. I'm completely serious. I think mental health is an important issue. We never talk about it.
I feel better with therapy.
Good.
Definitely. Yeah, I feel like 8, 9 now.
That's amazing. Good job.
Yeah.
Do you recommend your therapist?
Oh, yeah. He's great. His name's Kevin.
Kevin?
It's cognitive behavioral therapy, which is better than typical therapy.
What's the difference?
They work on, they have like strategic plans for what you can do on a daily basis. It's not just, I felt bad today, like this terrible thing happened. It's like, okay, here's how you're thinking about things.
Okay.
Here's how you should change how you're thinking. Here's how you're going to do it.
Give me an example of something that he's told you that's been helpful.
It's kind of just like finding things that distract you. Like if your behavior is based on like your neurological pathways, and those are really set, like so you can have some problem and you just keep reacting the same exact way every time because that's the way your neurons are firing. But if you start, when you start feeling that way, if you distract yourself with like things you like a TV show, if you put like a box together with pictures that you like and you look at it, you can start having your neurons fire down a different pathway, and then they'll hopefully stick down that pathway, so you'll be thinking in like a better way.
Has your therapist ever told you to use any types of social media, pro or con? Like maybe stop looking at Facebook because it's making you super depressed?
No, he's never said that. I know that myself.
Good for
you. I've already known that that's a terrible place to look when you're feeling bad about yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yet you create something that is for others to enjoy and in theory want feedback on that.
Yeah. Sure, that's true.
That doesn't freak you out at all?
No, because it's not, I don't know, it's just not as personal. It's not like a selfie. I'm like, do I look good? It's
you have
like
a show called Kaylee Chess,
yeah.
And
well,
you're
sure,
Kaylee,
sure.
And it's like a lot of selfies, in fact, like 18 per second, because a video, so like a lot of selfies put together.
Yeah, but I'm just chatting with somebody who's doing something cooler than me just sitting there talking to them.
Like cool.
Yeah.
All right, that makes a lot of sense. Thanks for talking to me about your deepest, darkest fears.
Oh,
yeah,
really
deepest, darkest fear, go. Being completely serious, please.
Getting my head chopped off.
Okay, realistic fears.
Running out of contacts during an apocalypse.
Really?
Yes.
Not the apocalypse itself?
No.
Because you'll definitely survive.
Yeah, no, it's like my glasses being broken and having no contacts and not being able to see is definitely something that keeps
so
me up at
one
night.
Episode of The Twilight Zone is your biggest nightmare.
Yeah.
Mine's dying alone without friends or family.
That might be worse, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. That's the best segue to start your own talk show. Anyways, that's what we're going to do. I'm going to, for the first time, I think, ever in the show's history. No, that's a lie. We did have one show where I didn't host. Michael Foody hosted. Michael Foody's a hilarious comic. And I was like, I want to see the show from a different perspective. So I sat in the back of the room, and he hosted the show. And it was the biggest train wreck we've ever done. And that includes a man who had roid rage and was doing stand-up and threatened to beat up the father of a friend and then said racist and homophobic jokes to a gay black man 5 feet in front of him, and then he wanted to fight that man.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
That show was worse.
Ooh.
So we're going to hand over the show to you now.
Okay, cool.
Okay,
all right.
I'm going to leave the stage.
Okay. Just seeing what time it is.
It's going to be great. This is Kaylee's first ever live talk show that she's going to host on her own. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, you're going to sit in the host chair.
Okay.
I'm going to get off stage and drink alcohol because I'm an adult and I'm cool. And then that's it.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Kaylee Chess, everybody.
Okay. Hello, first live audience of Kaylee Chess. I'm Kaylee. Thank you. Yeah, this is the first time we're live. We're on You, Me, Them, Everybody. Today I'm going to be interviewing Claire O'Neill. This is Claire. She is a editor of a zine called The Runcible Spoon, which I also work for. It's a food zine. We have a blog together. It's a burger blog, and she works at NPR. So thank you for being here, Claire.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start off by talking about a zine. I find that a lot of people don't know what zines are, so would you like to explain what a zine is?
Zine is the last part of the word magazine.
That's right.
So it is a small, usually shitty type of magazine.
That's right.
It's usually handmade. I was never really into zines. Like, I don't have the cool backstory that I was like the kid in high school with the buttons, and I was like a totally boring high school kid. But Malika, who founded the zine that we work for, has been making them since she was 14 in LA. And we were roommates about 6 years ago, and she and I both worked in, you know, digital media at the time. We were both like running Twitter feeds and sick of staring at computer screens all day. So we wanted a pet project, and we decided we are both obsessed with food, so let's make a food zine. So that's what it is. We put out maybe, I don't know, for the past 5 years, we've put out maybe three a year. we've slowed down a bit. I think we put out one this past year.
That's right.
But it's foodish in content. And
give us three adjectives that describe what the Runcible Spoon is.
Is that a question? What would they be?
Yeah.
I'd say it's irreverent, funny, and insane.
Yeah, and it's all about food. We write about DC food sometimes. We write about not DC food.
Food, it's like food adjacent stories, really. Food is our excuse to sort of, I don't know, it's really a great way to build a little community of creators, you know, writers and illustrators to make little stories that have something to do with food. Sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not. It's fun when you work in journalism to have a product that like may or may not be accurate.
Right, which I think leads into the burger blog,
yes.
Which we haven't updated in like a year. But
Claire and Kaylee eat burgers.tumblr.com.
Yeah, so it's a Tumblr, I should have said that. I think it makes it a little less legitimate, but.
No.
Oh, no?
What are you talking about? No.
I don't know. Tumblr is like teenagers.
It's world famous.
Oh, okay. We have a really good burger blog.
Yeah. We have 9 posts.
Yeah.
We've eaten 9 burgers. This is going to be our 10th burger together.
So what we're
going
to do is we're going to try out eating a burger right now. We're going to test it out, and we're going to give our feedback. We went to Kangaroo Boxing Club, which is close by, because they're supposed to have a very good burger. It's called the Costanza Burger. It's like regular beef and also pastrami. So I was really excited about that. And what I'd like to do is have you try it first.
Okay.
Take a bite.
Okay.
I'll talk a little bit.
All right.
And then I'll take a bite and you can talk a little bit.
Okay.
And then we'll give our review.
Okay. That sounds good.
All right. So Claire's going to take a bite of this burger. And I'm going to talk about some other burgers that we've eaten. And if you have any suggestions for burgers we should try after I go through some we've had, and shout them out. We went to Garden District, which has a really good burger. We went to Five Guys. Claire had never had Five Guys before.
The Passenger?
Oh, yeah, we went to The Passenger. They had a really good burger. You ate Shake Shack on your own. Oh, we went to that place in Union Market.
Yeah, Red Apron in Union Market.
Red Apron in Union Market.
Solid. I had my first In-N-Out burger when we were in LA.
Yeah, we had In-N-Out. That's right. Yeah.
This blog has been a real series of firsts for me because up until about 2 years ago, I had been vegetarian for 7 years. And the thing that really, like, tipped the scale for me, I was in New Orleans, and I just saw this, like, beautiful, juicy cheeseburger, and I had to have it. Burgers are my weakness, basically, and it's the one thing we have in common.
So we both had bites of this pastrami burger, which is cold, because it's, like, an hour old. What do you think?
I don't know that cold burgers hold up in the same way that, like, cold pizza does.
That's true.
But I think it's pretty good. It's got that, like, it almost has this bacony quality to it without actually having bacon on it.
I think it's the pastrami.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Has anybody had this burger before? No. Nobody's had this burger? No.
Unbelievable.
God, all the blogs talk about it like it's the greatest burger in the world, and I thought
that. No, it's really good. Would eat again.
Okay. All right. Maybe we should get it when it's hot next time.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
That should maybe be a criteria.
Yeah, hot burger probably is.
Not having been sitting in a box for 2 hours.
That's my fault. I'm sorry. That's okay. So let's talk about NPR. You work there.
That's true.
We've been there for a long time.
About 6 years now, yeah.
Do you do anything with food and NPR?
No.
No. So this is your food outlet, Zine, Burger Blog. This is where you're able to let that out.
So I often wonder, like, you know, in life you have the things that you're really super passionate about. And as soon as they become your day job, maybe, I don't know, but I have this fear that I would start to resent it. So,
yeah.
Like, I love food so much, everything about it. And if it were to be my day job, I think that I would maybe hate it.
Yeah.
So it's fun to have a job where it, like, changes every day. You know, you're kind of dabbling lots of different subject matter, but I'm not responsible for a food blog every day.
Yeah, that makes sense. You'd probably get a little bit sick of it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like if you have to get 1 million views per month, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
But if you only
We don't have to get any views. We don't have to. No one has to like what we're doing at all. We get to eat burgers.
And yet they do. Yeah. Millions of people love our burger blog.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So. We have the millions of fans.
It works out.
Well, I think we can wrap it up. We tried our burger. We've reviewed it. I would say.
What do you think?
I would say it's good. I wish that it was warm. I do think that the pastrami really gives it a good flavor.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing going for it, really.
What's our scale? Is it three stars?
One to four.
One to four. What would you give it?
Probably like a three.
Yeah.
What do you think? Three?
Yeah, I think I'd give it a three.
Okay, we're giving this burger a three in case anyone's wondering.
we know you are.
We know you. I mean, I think that that's still, like, you should probably eat it. We've had lower scores.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah.
In-N-Out was a very low score for me.
Yeah.
You too?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, this is higher than In-N-Out. I think that's it. I think that's all we can say.
That's all there is to say.
Okay. It's over.
Classic showbiz trope. It's over. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Kaylee. I am so much louder than both of you. Fantastic. Guys, we are doing this. Fantastic. It's going to be so good. I am now realizing I am so much louder than everyone else put together. That's why the mic is down here, and you can still hear me clearly. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Jesse Moreno Ritt, everybody. Jesse, the stage is yours.
Thank you. Thank you. The last guy that I was having sex with asked me if I would be interested in having a three-way. And I was kind of taken aback. I was like, every time we have sex as a three-way, God is always with us. He's all around us. Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. My friend Brooke went to Outside Lands, which is a three-day music festival, and she called me because she wanted me to help her pick out outfits. And on the first day, she wore a crop top and short shorts and a bindi, and she looked amazing. And the second day, she wore a crop top and shorts and a Native American headdress, and she looked amazing. And on the third day of Outside Lands, she wore a crop top, shorts, and a hijab. She looked amazing. Thank you. This is a long microphone cord. I went through a lesbian phase, but I realized I just wanted a friend. I lost weight recently so that I could be skinny and have value. And so when I went home to visit my dad, he was like, now that you're skinnier, are you going to stop hooking up with girls and hook up with guys? And I was like, that's offensive, but yes, I am. And so I'm going through a straight phase and... I'm realizing I just want the dick. I'm pretty confused. My boyfriend, he came inside me last night, and I was so agitated. I was like, I wish you watched porn so that you knew to come on my face. 'Cause what other purpose does my face have? In this society, if not just like a landing zone for your semen. So I was pretty frustrated. And he knew I was coming here tonight. So when I woke up this morning, he was like, hey, kill it tonight. And I was like, hey, I'm on my way to buy Plan B. I'm gonna kill it all day, all night. So I went to the pharmacist, and they keep the Plan B in those plastic containers that you can't just open by sheer will. So she was holding one end, the pharmacist. I was holding the other end of the Plan B, trying to drag it towards my possibly pregnant body. And she was like, listen, you might have side effects. You might have a headache. You might feel nauseous today. I was like, bitch, only side effect I'm going to feel is fucking relief. My pussy is safe. I like to plan ahead. So I used to have a pet name for my boyfriend. I used to call him my ex-boyfriend. And now that he is my ex-boyfriend, I just call him the guy who murdered me in my sleep. For my next joke, I would like to do an impression of my mother at every family dinner I've ever had with her.
What? What did you say? Where did you learn that? What the fuck, Jesse?
And then she kind of looks down in disappointment. I wish you guys knew her. It's such a spot-on impression. I'm like a fucking character actress up here for you guys. One of my favorite hobbies is therapy, and I like therapy because it's like a talk show about me, and it's okay. I get good ratings. And so when I'm at therapy, you know, it's a talk show, but my only audience is my therapist, Lori, because she won't let me record the sessions. And, you know, I have to deal with her audience reactions all the time. And she was like, you have to go on anxiety medication. And I was like, I want to switch networks. Lori's always saying we have to work on our boundaries. I like got up off her lap. I was like, what? We're fine. I watched the movie Drinking Buddies. Has anyone seen it? So you all have Netflix. And I just so badly want to be like Olivia Wilde. I want to be chill. I want to drink a beer, you know? So I was doing some research about it, and there's a brand called Fredericksburg, I believe, and they have the Raging Bitch beer and the Oyster Stout, the Pearl Necklace Oyster Stout. And I love those names, don't get me wrong. I just thought we could expand a little bit. So I sent them an email yesterday. I found their email on LinkedIn. And I sent them an email with some new beer names. So I said, and I even gave them design options. I said, how about the My Dandruff Is Cleared Up Today, Amber? Or, no, I was busy too, IPA. Or like, oh, please, I hope your friends like me, lager. They haven't gotten back to me yet, waiting patiently. So my best friend fell in love recently, which is amazing. And I've never been in love, so I asked her to kind of explain to me what it feels like what are the warning signs and the symptoms and the after effect. And she was glowing and looked amazing, and she was like, well, I just think he's like the best person in the world, and my heart was warm. And I was like, go on. And she was like, I just think he's amazing. I just want to unzip his skin and put my body in his body and zip back up my skin. And I'm like, over it. I am good. I will stay single. Forever, if need be. This is my impression of Louis Armstrong.
I've got skies are blue, red roses too. Something, I forgot this line, but darling, I need you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Thank you so much. I'm Jesse.
Jesse, sit down, please.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thanks.
How old are you?
I'm 21.
Fuck! Oh! You're two-thirds my age.
And I'm so talented.
You are. Yes, she is.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have you ever... The beer is flying dog.
What?
The beer in your joke, it's flying dog.
No, it isn't.
Okay.
It's a different beer.
It's a different beer.
Yeah, you're thinking, you are, that is a beer, but it's, you're wrong.
Okay.
Next question.
Have you ever been in a room that more people have seen drinking buddies than SNL? That's way too much of a positive crowd response.
Yeah, that was fun. No, I haven't.
That's cruel, right? That's cool.
Yeah, it's true. It's funny.
I thought this was a funny line, but I don't feel comfortable saying it out loud considering your age.
Oh, my pussy is safe.
That was funny.
Thank you.
You're a very funny person. Why'd you start doing this?
I don't feel very good at anything else.
Perfect.
Yeah. And
what else have you tried?
I'm at GW right now for political science.
Why?
Because I watched West Wing a lot growing up, like a lot. And who are you pointing at?
My wife.
Really?
Why do you think that's crazy?
Well, no, I don't know, because I'm sitting up here. I don't know who your wife is. I barely know you, and you're pointing while I'm answering a question.
Because you said West Wing, and okay. I pointed it to her.
Does she work there?
Yes. She works on the television show West Wing. And she's a real journalist.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you.
Yeah, she's great. She later. Actually used her poli-sci major for something positive. I was a poli-sci major.
Really? Where did you go?
I went to DePaul. I listened to too much Bad Religion, and that's why I became a poli-sci major. If you watched West Wing, why aren't you studying, like, I don't know, screenwriting or movie production?
I guess I never made the leap that, like, that was fake. I was, like, really invested in that as a reality.
Cool.
And so I didn't realize, like, that people were writing it. Aaron Sorkin, like, didn't even register for me.
Did you watch The Newsroom?
I watched a little bit of it.
Okay, so it wasn't your favorite comedy of the year?
No.
Okay. It was my favorite comedy of the year. You plugged the microphone in. Two for two, everybody. Because I'm mansplaining
got it.
Yeah. Are you going to stick with your major?
Yeah, well, I'm a senior, so it's a little too late to back out now.
What do you want to do after college?
I'm going to pursue comedy writing.
So maybe drop out.
Right. I've thought about it. My parents wouldn't let me.
Are they paying?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, then cool.
And I get along with them really well.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Where do you live? Where are you from?
California.
Oh, where in California?
The Valley of Los Angeles.
That's nice, right?
Yeah.
Really?
Stop it.
What do you miss about the Valley of Los Angeles the most?
I think I like really push myself to be like the skinniest I can be when I'm home, and I'm like really I'm hot when I'm there. I'm like a fucking smoke show. But when I get back here, I just don't care as much.
Have you ever said I'm a fucking smoke show before? Because no one I've ever talked to has ever said I'm a fucking smoke show.
Oh my God, thank you. I'm going to touch your shoulder later.
So you're funny. Why aren't more people funny?
I don't know. That's a tough question. I think...
Yes, and?
Yeah, yes, yes, and improv. Do you do it?
Yeah, I'm from Chicago. We,
no way!
We legally have to take improv classes.
Yeah, you come out the womb in I.O.
Yeah, we tag in.
Yeah, that's cool.
Isn't it?
Sure, and I don't know why more people aren't funny. I think sometimes I have no idea. I'm 21. I like barely know who I am. So like I feel like I can't answer these questions well. But what I gather, opinionated 21-year-old, you know, what I gather is that I sometimes don't think I'm super funny, you know, and I have really. I think people are too confident in what they think is funny, and they're not
willing
to like learn.
You were saying something else, and you stopped yourself.
No, that was a rewording of it.
You sure about that?
For now.
How do you feel when you wake up, 1 to 10?
7.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, thank you.
How about right before you go to sleep?
Oh, 6.
What happened?
Sometimes I forget to brush my teeth or wash my face, and it makes me feel gross. But then also, I'm too tired to do it.
I get that.
Yes. So.
Do you still watch West Wing?
No, I don't.
Why not?
I know. I should rewatch it. I tried
to.
No
one said that.
You know?
Calm down.
Sorry. I just cackled.
Is that your natural laugh?
Yeah.
You're a dating person? You're dating?
Yeah. Sure.
Have you ever dated a funny person? Here, better question. Have you ever dated someone that thought they were funny?
Yeah, all the time.
How do you break that to them?
Sometimes. Usually towards the end at the breakup. I'm like, I was always funnier than you. Like,
that's how you break up with people?
Yeah, I was like, I was always funnier than you. I was better than you. And it's over.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's over.
And then do you laugh at them in the face?
Yeah. I cackle really loudly into a mic. I get a mic solely for the purpose of into the face of the person I break up with.
What do you want to happen?
With
life.
Life. I would like to...
Wait. As opposed to what?
I thought you meant this interview. I'm like, I don't know, for it just to go well. I listened to your podcast before. I was really, really nervous.
Hell yeah,
like,
bro.
Listened.
And then you got not nervous.
No, I got like incredibly nervous.
Why?
Feel how sweaty my palm is.
No.
Do it.
No.
Please?
It has to be consensual, and I'm not touching a 21-year-old.
It's my hand, and it's for to emphasize how nervous I am.
But I don't know if you're a sweaty person naturally.
Yes. But I'm still nervous.
What do you
now.
Want to happen?
And okay, I would like to write comedy for really talented, amazing people and shows. And your mic broke.
There you go. No.
Okay.
Why?
I think it was just my friend.
Cool. I like your friends. Why?
Why do I want to write comedy?
Yeah, why not perform the comedy? You're great. Why would
you
ever write for anybody else?
That's really nice. I would like to keep like performing in the meantime, but I just...
Dream job. What is it?
Dream job? To be Jen Statsky. She...
That was just a support of who.
Yeah.
You have no idea who that is, and that's even nicer. You have
no,
good
my
friends.
No, friend does. Your
okay,
I talk
did
about
you
her
expose
lot.
Your friend to this person?
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
And
what
she
is,
knew about her.
What
does
Jen
really,
do?
Jen is a writer for the Maria Bamford show on Netflix, and before that, it hasn't come out yet, but before that, before that, she was a writer for Broad City, and then she was a writer for Parks and Rec, and she is...
Is younger than me. So here's the thing. You're great.
Thank you.
What does your tattoo mean?
You were going to compliment me?
Yeah. Things change. What does your tattoo mean?
Bless it.
It looks like Charlie Brown's shirt.
It does. You aren't the first to
yeah,
say
because
that.
It's a cultural reference everyone understands. What does it mean?
I got it with my roommate. We have an apartment, and we decorate.
Where is your apartment? What neighborhood? Not the address. Back off. Strangers. That's funny. Don't ever talk out loud again when you're at a show. That's incredibly, incredibly rude. You're ruining your friend's moment. She literally has a light on her and amplified sound in her hand. Let her use her talents. What does a tattoo mean?
It means that we decorated our apartment in chevron print, which is this, and we called our apartment the Chev, and we made it a Facebook page, and we think we're the best versions of ourselves at the Chev, and... We like who we are when we're in the Chev, and we want to always be with the Chev. And so we got it tattooed when she graduated college, because she graduated a year early because she's brilliant.
What was her major?
Political communications.
No one cares about that, though.
She's literally has an amazing job with an office, that with a door that closes.
Dude, she's got an office job. I take back everything
no,
I've ever said.
She's like, she's changing the world using digital media.
No one's doing that. Shut up.
Yes, she is.
You're so 21.
No,
I love
she's
it.
She's doing it. She is.
Here's the thing. You're funny. That's
Thank
a
you.
Lovely story. The fact that you got a tattoo, why don't you just make your own web series a la Broad City and call it The Best Versions of Ourselves at the Chev, and that's the show. That's great. You're
Thanks.
Incredibly likable. I'm assuming you surround yourself with likable people. Do your own thing. You don't need any of these coming to Netflix people. You got yourself. Just do the thing. Nike, just do it. You're going to be great.
Thank you so much.
One day I'm going to ask you for a job. Please consider it. That's all. You're so fucking
Thank
great.
Thank you so much for having
Ladies
me.
Ladies and
Thank
gentlemen,
you guys.
Please put your hands together Thank for you. The absolutely fabulous Jesse Mourner. You're so good.
Thanks
Thank you
so
for doing
much.
This.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, my favorite Nine Inch Nails cover band, Stranger in the Alps, everybody.
Guys. All right, thanks. Stubborn seed plaster roses by the salted sea. You're a cold case, a locker full of folding maps and paperweights, always in the same place. Guys. Hey. So we're not funny. But this is a story. And the song comes with a story. And it doesn't have anything to do with anything that you and I have ever experienced. But I feel like we can all relate to it. And the story of this song happened in Montana in 1949. There are these guys who are insane and very, very brave for jumping out of airplanes and parachuting down and fighting wildfires. Smoke jumpers. Hey, somebody does know. Oh, shit. Okay. Woo. Better than us. These smoke jumpers, in 1949, there was a wildfire, and they went down to fight it, and they pumped the river, and they were fighting this wildfire, and what happened was the wildfire changed directions on them, and it sort of pinned them in, and it started chasing them up a hill. And when wildfires, when they want to run, they can run, and these guys were totally overmatched. And it was really dangerous, and the captain was this guy named Wagner Dodge. And he was running from the fire with his guys, and then he had an idea, and he decided that he was gonna burn the ground that he was standing on, and lie down, and the fire wouldn't have anything to burn, and it would just burn around him, and that's what it did. And he was he and one other guy were the only guys who survived the fire, and put it in the manual. It's called an escape fire, and I've never jumped out of an airplane, much less fought a fire afterwards, but I read about this story when I kind of was looking for an escape fire, and it sort of stuck with me, so I wrote this song out of it. Thank you. was the hottest day on record when the Mandelch went alight. Call went out and Wagner Dodge and 14 men took flight. Well, they flew down to the far side of the river. Dodge said, boys, it's all right. Every man's got to face a fire sooner or later. Every man's got to learn to fight. Dodge thought that the river bed would keep the flames at bay. He never guessed the wind would change, carry the embers their way. But like a devil dancing, the fire jumped and landed on the other side. And Wagner Dodge and 14 men started running for their lives. Don't you run like hell, boys, stop and turn around. That fire is loud as heaven, and the flames are bearing down. Mama said, don't play with matches, you might burn up where you stand. But sometimes you gotta fight the fire you can't control with the one you can. High inferno moving like a train. All Dodge and his boys could do was run, pray for rain. But the only intervention coming that day was the sound of whatever told old Wagner Dodge to stop and hold his ground. He lit a match and burned away the grass around his feet. Wet a rag and held it on his mouth so he could breathe. Then he lay down in those cinders that were smoldering on the ground. And like hell, the Mandelch fire came roaring all around. Run like hell, boys, stop and turn around. That fire is loud as heaven, and the flames are bearing down. Mama said, don't play with matches, you might burn up where you stand. But sometimes you gotta fight the fire you can't control with the one you can. And seared the bark off all the trees. And 13 unlucky men they burned alive that day. But from the ashes, Wagner Dodge got up and walked away. They asked Dodge, oh, how he knew his plan would work so well. He told them that he didn't. He was scared as hell, but a fire's only as strong as what you feed it to survive. Burn it all, you're left with nothing, but you might get out alive. So I'm sorry, babe, I know I've been a coward and a liar. And I'm guessing it was probably me.
who first started that fire. But if we keep on running now, we'll surely end up dead. So strike a match and let's lay down here in these flames instead. Don't you run like hell, boy. Stop and turn around. That fire is loud as heaven, and the flames are bearing down. Mama said, don't play with matches. You might burn up where you stand. But sometimes you gotta fight fire you can't control with the one you can. Thanks, guys. We got one more. All right, this is our last one, guys. We're Stranger in the Alps. You can find us on the internet, which is online. And, don't follow a comedian. Tangled home below the hill. ladies and gentlemen, Noah Beinlein. Thanks much, guys. The Stranger in the Alps, this is Dave, this is Noah. Come buy us a beer.